Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, I got a riddle for you.
All right, I'm down.
Okay, what's purple? You spell it forwards and backwards. It says exactly the same thing. Yeah. It rhymes with orange, and it has teeth.
Forwards and backwards, purple, rhymes with orange, has teeth. I don't know.
I don't know either, but we can talk about the ideas of it.
All right. Got him.
That is a stupid joke.
Hey. Hey. It's very in our lane.
It is in our lane. Hey. And so is the Idea Summit.
Very true. For the whole ministry family.
For the whole ministry.
Events happening January 30th through the February 1st of 2023 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
It's the very first Idea Network event that is a two-night, three-day event. And we're really excited about it. It's not just a day. It's not just a night. It's not just a summit. It is the next level, the zenith, the very pinnacle, the summit of summits. We call it the Idea Summit for the whole ministry family. Now, why for the ministry family, Drew?
Because we want everybody to come.
Yeah.
So we've had many idea days, nights, and summits in the past that really have been geared towards ministry leaders, pastors, and their wives, but hasn't really focused on the entire family.
Yeah, and this time we want you to not only know that your kids are welcome to come, but they're actually encouraged because paralleled right alongside of the adult conference for ministry leaders, there is a kids conference and a teen conference for each and every one of you. Yeah, they're going to have events, they're going to have parties, they're going to have great opportunities to hear from teachers in those fields, specifically talking to them about what it's like to be in the ministry. What is it like to be a PK? What is it like to have mom and dad in full-time ministry or bivocational ministry? And they're going to love this event.
Now, some highlights for the summit. Our keynote speakers is going to be Dr. Tony Evans. We have Alan Parr, who's popular YouTuber, speaker, preacher of the word. We have Brian Sams and yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be there as well.
You're going to be there as well.
And you.
I'll be there.
We're going to have a great time there in January 30th, 31st, and February 2nd. You can go up and sign up at ideanetwork.church/summit. Looking forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Hey, welcome to episode 173 of the Idea Talks. We are finishing up a three-part series on hyper-separatism with Dr. Dave Tice. Today we're going to be talking about hyper-separatism and the broken spirit. But before we begin, we want to talk about the Idea Summit that's coming up very, very soon.
Wait a second. The Idea Summit is coming up very, very soon?
If you have been listening to this podcast for any length of time over the last 4 months,
that's
coming up very soon. We've been saying that literally every episode.
It's only a month from now, 5 weeks to be exact.
Yeah, I specifically want to call out Monday's worship service from 6:30 to 8:30 with Dr. Tony Evans. I grew up listening to Dr. Tony Evans, love him a lot. I remember there's two or three key sermons that came in a very specific time of my life in college that had an impact and pointed me back to Christ. I love his influence over the kingdom. I can't wait to hear him speak.
Man, I can't wait to hear him as well. And so many great speakers. I'm excited about the speakers, which we've been highlighting. But you know what I'm really excited about? The friends. Because those of you who have been part of the network for a while, you get that feeling that I do when you show up to an idea day or an idea summit. And in that, it's just the let my guard down, have a deep breath, and see a bunch of friends I haven't seen for a year or 2 years. And what an incredible experience. And it's at the conference itself, yeah. And it's whenever you skip that session and skip the other session, and Kylie's going to hate that I'm saying that, so that you could just sit around in the coffee shop and talk with your friends. I cannot wait to see so many of you, and I know that so many of you cannot wait to see each other. Just getting to the summit is going to be great. Now, I know it's an expense, and I also know it takes time, but you need to prioritize you as a ministry leader, need a time of refreshment through preaching, fresh ideas, and strong, true, genuine, authentic relationships with other ministry leaders. Just like you are whenever you're on an airplane, they want you to put the mask on you first before you can help the people beside you. And so you need to care for yourself spiritually by coming to the summit 1 month from today. Register at ideanetwork.church.
Now, this is Idea Day, right? This is like when, like, 7 or 8 years ago, we just decided we were going to get together 20 or 30 people and
correct.
We were going to get in a room and just talk about ideas.
Yeah.
And man, this thing has exploded.
Yeah, man, it sure has. At this point, there's going to be more people at this event than any event we've ever done before. And that's why we had to move it from a smaller church location like Southern Hills to a more of a mega church situation with Robbie Green in Dallas. You're going to have a great time. The voice you hear is that of Dr. David Tice, joining us for the third part of this very fascinating conversation about hyper-separatism. And for those of you who may not understand, hyper-separatism is not something found in one particular movement of churches or denomination. It's actually something that's found when you begin to study the church as a whole in every single facet and corner of God's family within the broader kingdom of God. And if you are sitting here today and you're experiencing hyper-separatism, you'll know, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, it has a major effect on family relationships, on the broader kingdom, and on your individual broken spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
So how do we get over a broken spirit? Somebody's rejected us, and I feel in my heart like I'm out. You're serving, and people say, hey, well, if you do this, or if you believe that, then I can't have fellowship with you. What a heart-rending thing. I walked up to a door one day, knocked on the door of a dear person to me, and when I opened the door, he answered this way. He said, if you're going to come to my house, call first. And mm-hmm. he slammed the door.
Wow.
And I had brought somebody to see the person because I thought he would enjoy meeting this individual. And I thought, whoa, and shut the door. Man, that's just that.
It's not a good feeling.
No, it just rips your guts out.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? How do you deal with that bitterness?
Yeah, I've dealt with the same thing. I mean, over the years as a pastor, I've done certain things that I believed were absolutely right as a pastor in ministry in my cultural context. Our music changed a little bit. The way I present myself and preach is not necessarily in the way that I don't preach in a suit and tie. Even the Bible that I preach from is to specifically reach a generation of people who may not speak in Elizabethan English. And so some of these changes I did for our local congregation, but along the way, I had many people who might care for me and love me, some of them not so much, but who had to, according to their own conscience, separate. We call it hyper-separatism. Some of them not only separated for minor issues, some of them separated for second and third degree separations. They literally said to me, Josh, we're not separating from you because we think this is so bad, but if we don't, we're going to have people separate from us. So for financial and business reasons, there was separation. And you think to yourself, well, you just have a good spirit. Of course, but how do you have a good spirit? One of the goals of hyper-separatism is punitive isolation, meaning you go into the penalty box and come out when you say you agree with us on everything. Otherwise, if you don't do it our way, you'll be all alone. And I know there are hundreds of you listening, perhaps even thousands, who have experienced this. This isolation can break the spirit of many ministry leaders.
That happened back in the 50s when people left the Southern Baptists.
Correct.
And they were told,
wow,
hey, if you stand up, if you address this issue and this issue and this issue, you'll never go anywhere. And so some of those people left and built some of the largest churches in America.
Yeah.
That happens and it perpetually happens. I have a friend back in Pennsylvania. He is a Free Methodist, and you'll laugh at this, but Free Methodists are very, very conservative in what they dress, and they're denominationally run. And he said, my wife was playing the piano in our church, and we had two of the district managers or whatever they call them that came into our church that day, and her elbows showed while she was playing the piano. And because her elbow showed, they came up and said, if this happens again, you will be removed from the denomination. And
what was the denomination called again?
It was called the Free Methodists.
They were free?
They were free.
Ah, I see. It's like independent.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. And so he said, so I'm not going to, I'm just leaving the Free Methodist movement. So that's very far away from.
But the point is it's happened. It's almost as if there is a major player out there who doesn't like the church.
Yes.
Who almost uses the same tricks.
For every place.
For every generation.
Just to break fellowship.
Sure. So here's the big question. We already dealt with how it hurts the kingdom and how it hurts families. Now we're talking about the individual soul. Pastor David Dad Tice. How can a pastor maintain a positive attitude in the midst of something like that?
I think that we need to remember that our God is positive. And we need to remember that God's called us as individuals. Whenever I have faced criticism. In 45 years of ministry, I've gotten criticized from people within our church, outside the church. Came home one day after being gone on a six-week trip. Three weeks I was preaching, 2 weeks I was camping, and my hair had gotten just a little bit over my ears. And a person came, visited our church, and that would have loved the church. They came and said, well, I want you to know I liked everything about the church until I saw you. He said, I saw you and I saw your hair over your ears. And he said, I thought.
I've never heard this story. He said, hair on your ears.
Yes, your hair on your ears. And you know what my ears are.
Yeah.
It's been this style forever. I was born with this hairstyle.
Right. Since the Beatles introduced it from Britain.
That's right. So actually, this is Elvis.
Oh, that's Elvis style? Got it. Okay.
The Beatles hung down.
At least it's American.
So, yeah. He said, I'll never come back to your church again because you're a compromiser. Man, I went out of there feeling like, I mean, it's a crushing thing. Look, I need to, at times like that, I say to myself, look, I'm God's servant. I know I'm here doing what God wants me to do. I'm not living in Las Vegas, Nevada, because I wanted to move back to Las Vegas, Nevada. I wanted to get as far away from Vegas as I possibly could. I'm not pastoring a church because I wanted to pastor a church. This is not my church. It's his church. I'm not preaching my thoughts and my convictions. I'm preaching the word of God. And I'm here to do what God wants me to do. David said he learned to encourage himself in the Lord. And that's when all of his mighty men were upset with him and thinking about killing him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And we have to be able to remember who we're serving, what we are, and if everything is ripped away. And I've told the Lord this just in recent days. I've said, Lord, if everything is taken away, if I die a pauper, I'm your servant, and it reflects on you. So God, you do whatever you want to, because I'm just here to do your will.
So really, it does come down to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's once again going to the one who sees you, just as we learned from Hagar, when nobody wanted her and completely cast her out. Who was it that she sought? She prayed. And what I love about that story of Hagar is, who does she pray to? She prays to the God and the God she was taught about by the person who hurt her. And you know what she calls him? She calls him the God who sees me. She doesn't get bitter at the God of Abraham, though she doesn't go back to Abraham. She actually seeks the God of the one who hurt her and the God who saw her, though nobody else would see her. And friend, I don't know where you're at, and I don't want to get too hyperbolic in emotion, but I want you to understand something. Though nobody else may see you, God sees you. He loves you. Your Father is proud of you. And you need to understand that He is excited for your future. Now, okay, that's Dad, how we maintain a positive attitude.
Isn't it amazing? I love this. I just gotta insert this. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that when we're judged by the Lord, I love this, every man will have praise of God.
Yeah.
God is going to say something good about Dave Tice. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. my Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to say something good about me, and he knows every stinking thing I've done wrong. He knows my gift of carnality, and yet he's going to say something good about me.
So this is how we remain a positive attitude in the midst of, you know, going through hyperseparatism. But where should a pastor look if he's looking for genuine community? Because I think one of the natural things is, fine, I'll be isolated, fine. I'll build a cabin called a church, and I'll only ever sit in this cabin and I'll talk to no pastor ever. Well, I mean, is that the answer? What about a pastor who needs to find genuine community? What would you say?
No, that's so important. I tell people say, how did you keep going when the church first started? I had a man named Dan Mitchell who said I could call him anytime. He was one of my professors. I had a man named Sumner Wimp who I perpetually called. I had a man named Woodrow Kroll, who was one of my professors, who said, call me anytime. And then I had talked to several people and said, I want you to pray for me. So when I was out here and there was nobody else, I constantly was in touch with people who were spiritual mentors to me. And then beyond that, because there was nobody. I was a guy from Liberty out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. There was nobody that thought, everybody thought I was either liberal I was either a legalist or a liberal. And people, and that was just wherever I went. And there wasn't anybody that I was associated with. So I needed that. So I had that. What I love is, and what I started to do back then was I would go to different churches in town and I tried to develop a fellowship between churches in town, and we got several, 4 or 5, 6 churches together to just meet together for monthly youth activities and that kind of stuff to build fellowship. But what is wonderful now is with the Idea Day Network, we have a place where you can go. You can walk into the Idea Day Network, and if you're there for the very first time and don't know anybody, by the time it's over, you will be received. You will be brought in. You'll be looking forward to the next Idea Day event because you're going to know that there's going to be people there, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, and you can say, "Hey, this happened. Hey, I'm questioning whether I believe this. I'm wondering about this," and nobody's going to jump down your throat. And at the same time, and I want to make this really clear, you're not going to be encouraged into heresy. You are going to be lifted up and encouraged doctrinally, yes, and morally and biblically right. And you'll be dealing with people who have, at the Idea Day Summit, you're going to deal with people who have, some have been hurt the way you've been hurt. Others others that are actually living, believing, and teaching truth. And it's just wonderful. And you'll be able to ask questions and not be condemned for answering the questions. And then, like you said, those times off by yourself, just talking with other men of God, being an encouragement. That is so great.
It really is the reason why we have the Idea Network, Idea Days, Idea Nights, Idea Summits. I think in the heart of every single pastor, you have a desire to get to know other ministry leaders. There's something that you experience that not everybody does experience. And to try to do it yourself, it is not easy.
And not only you, but here's something really important. I have a friend that was getting married. He had been married for 40 some years and his wife died. And he was remarrying. He's remarrying a woman, and she'd never been involved in ministry. And this is what I said to her. I said to him, I said, have you talked to her, your new potential wife? And have you told her that being a pastor's wife is hell? Have you told her that? And he said, what? I said, and my wife said, yeah, Dave, that's a good way to put it. Because pastors can get encouraged and get around other pastors, but your wife, yeah, needs to be around people like Heather Tice,
yes,
and like Anna Tice, and they need to be around Charity Berkey,
yeah,
and they need to be around people,
yeah,
who's ladies who've gone through ministry, because I'm telling you, Satan attacks the pastor's wife,
yes,
and the ministry leader's wife, and they are more emotional, and they are so easily hurt. Idea Day is so, so good for them and your children.
You know, it's funny you bring up the kids too, because I just had a pastor contact me who's so excited. Oh, he just posted it in the group, I think. And he said, you know, we've adopted a sibling group and I could not wait to sign up to bring my new teenagers to the Idea Summit for them to get to know other pastors' kids.
Oh.
Because they're pastors' kids for the first time. And so he signed them up because at this summit, we're not just providing childcare for babies, though there is that. There is an actual Idea Summit for kids, first grade through sixth grade, and an Idea Summit for teenagers, seventh grade all the way through high school, where they're going to have an actual PK conference. Now, I know some of you say, I'm not necessarily technically a pastor, but I'm in ministry of some kind. Bring them, because they understand what it is to be a kid growing up in full-time ministry.
We used to teach our children growing up. We told you guys that your job as preachers' kids is to teach other preachers' kids how to enjoy the ministry. And it's so good for preachers' kids to get around preachers' kids and to know other ministry kids. It is just such a wonderful thing. And so we need to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's so important, because you're not always going to be with friends. But God established fellowship so that we could encourage one another. It's so important.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dad, for talking with us about hyperseparatism. The effects that it has, of course, yes, on families. You can listen to that episode 2 weeks previous inside the Idea Talks podcast, or even last week's episode where we talked about how hyperseparatism really breaks the kingdom of God and is a great tool of the devil to divide us. Today, though, we've concluded, and I want to thank you for being with us to talk about how hyperseparatism can break the spirit. And our suggestion and our counsel to you is twofold. Learn to build up your spirit by a walk in relationship with Christ. And number two, by intentionally investing in relationships with other ministry leaders. We, at the Idea Network, are here to help you with that. And understand, if you're looking for a good mentor, a friend, so come into your church and encourage you, let me suggest you book David Tice and his wife Anna to come in for a 3-day conference, or even just for a Sunday, where they can come in and teach on prayer, or teach on family, or teach on raising children, or whatever it is that God's led for a conference. You can book him at davidtice.com, or reach out to Charity Berkey, his scheduling coordinator, and encourage yourself in the Lord by developing a relationship with a mentor you can trust.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.